where are we going for lunch?
I don't know. We'll figure it out after we record this episode. That's a great way to kick off the pod, though.
Yeah.
I love that. All right, everybody, we're back. Episode 44, as you can tell at the beginning, the question about where we're going for lunch. We have a guest back. My daughter Zoe is back again. Say hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Dare I say.
we're going to have to do one of these times. Now that there's been a fair amount of podcasts out there, we're going to have to do an errors and omissions podcast, and you're going to have to correct me on all the things that I've said that are wrong.
Now that we're 44 in, I feel comfortable telling you that Up and Up is a Target private label brand.
Correct. And I believe on a previous pod, I mentioned that it was a CVS private label, which it is not.
Up and Up
is definitely Target.
It's definitely Target. So. There's bits and pieces that you get wrong. And my mother and I, who's also been on the pod, will text each other about them.
I know. Sometimes I just shoot from the hip and just speak and I say, incorrect things.
I like the confidence.
So, but you know, I will say this, I'll listen to sports talk radio in town. I'll listen to, whomever, right? Other podcasts. And I'm frequently yelling at the podcast
too.
It's like, no, that's not the right player or that's not the right team or that's not the right, So mad respect to all those people out there that make their living talking all day long or for 8 hours on
a
radio.
And then get complete backlash.
They get shredded on Twitter.
You said that the burger had American cheese and it's actually sharp cheddar.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy.
Horrible.
Well, you must be hungry, speaking about lunch, since now we're talking about burgers. All right. So obviously Zoe popped by and said, hey, let's do a quick pod before we go out to lunch. We'll probably hit next door and get some delicious sushi.
Shout out Wagaya.
Love that place. On a previous pod, we introduced you to the world and talked about design on our side of the fence here at Mach the Agency versus kind of design that you are studying, being more the industrial variety,
the
dare
capitalist
I say.
Side of it.
Well, everything. Hey, we're all here to make money.
For consumerism.
Exactly. So the topic that sort of popped in my mind was the concept of interdisciplinary design. Right. What in the world? What the hell? What does that mean? I don't even know. Interdisciplinary design. Let's talk about it. Let's go. Right. So I'll go first and then you can backfill.
For sure.
Faux show.
Say it like that.
We're loopy. We must be hungry. So for us, we talk, we do a lot of different things for a lot of different people. Right. Mm-hmm. And we have bucketed it into advertising, design, and digital as sort of the three verticals that we speak about.
Mm-hmm.
But then within each one of those verticals, there are multiple different tactics, right? There's even within design, there's environmental design, like trade show design. There is brand development. I'm designing a logo and whatnot, right? Overlay digital on top of that. We've got websites and things. So when I think about interdisciplinary design and we talk about branding a new company, right? Mm-hmm. All the companies are different that we work with. The different markets that we work with are different. And I think interdisciplinary sometimes means one brand across many different tactics, across many different sort of avenues of how to get the word out. So it may be advertising, and that advertising may be digital, it may be just a Google search, it may be display ads, it may be, commercials, it may be radio, maybe billboard. I mean, those
are
all.
Dare I say, across disciplines.
Yes, exactly, right? But then you're also building a digital brand, you're building an online presence, right? You're building your website, you're doing all that stuff, right? We also may be helping with the physical manifestation of the brand itself, like the package design. Oh, I go to a grocery store.
Yeah.
And oh, here it is, right?
Yeah.
And I always think there's no better form of branding and touch points than someone literally in a purchasing state of mind actually grabbing your package, potentially comparing it to somebody else, you know, or whatever. Why should I buy this,
Sure.
Package of sausage, of chicken sausage versus this other package of chicken sausage, right? And that's where we're big fans of, hey, put some advertorial headlines, on an actual package, right? Cross-discipline that way. I mean, you don't have to have conceptualization on one side of the fence and design on the other side. You know, you can, we like to put everything in a blender and sort of put it all over the place, right?
Sure.
Because I think that's fun. Because consumers pop up all over the place, right?
Yes.
So interdisciplinary design from us is kind of tactical specific. That being said, you are in the business of studying design now.
Yes.
And learning all sorts of magical fun things. When I say interdisciplinary design to you, what does that mean to you?
Oh, big question.
I know. No pressure. There are tens of fans out there listening right now.
Dare I say?
I'm trying not to say it as much. You guys give me so much grief for saying, dare I say. A, I better get that on a damn t-shirt at some point as a gift. Somebody better design me a t-shirt.
I'm trying not to laugh straight into the mic and scare the people's ears.
Yeah, exactly. That's all right. We'll fix it in levels.
When I think of interdisciplinary design, you guys are talking about tactics. It's still tactics.
Yeah.
It's just I'm learning to be in the business of speaking the language of many different disciplines.
Okay.
I think you're interdisciplinary in design within the design umbrella.
Correct.
I think what I'm in the process of learning to do is quite literally interdisciplines, across many disciplines.
You can't use the word in the definition of the word.
Across different subjects, across different professions. I'm dealing with engineers every day. I'm learning to speak the language of this is why it will work, but I need you to make sure that it works.
Yes.
And kind of the traditional side of I will make it and you will make it work and that kind of thought process.
Well, it's kind of like architecture to a certain extent. I design something and then you hand it to engineers to spec and make sure that the load bearing situation works and things like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've designed what? A chair, a something, and then a coffee maker I've used in the past. I always use that as an example.
And figuring, I mean, I'm learning within design how to make it work so that I'm able to talk to engineers once that's not my job anymore. To hand off to now you will quote unquote make it work, even though I've already made it work. Like you'll spec it, I guess.
Yes.
So that's what I would think is.
And then shepherd the project through till completion, though, right?
It's my baby. I'm not just I'm not just handing it off to the wolves.
Well, it is a collaborative environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have multiple disciplines here in the office. All of which I consider extremely creative, and we've talked about our workflow and how. Our agency potentially is different than others.
Yeah.
Even on the development side, right? The coding, we're building websites. Coding is its own language. I still consider that extremely creative. I consider that a totally different discipline.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work collaboratively to make sure that not only do the sites that we build mechanically hold up through Google and Bing and speed testing SEO and all that good stuff. Right. But then also on the other hand, look the way that we want the brand to reflect online.
Yes.
There's that forward facing and then there's the back end, the plumbing, as we like to call it. So
I have a computer science professor right now actually that likes to anecdotally talk about his traditional computer science classes that he's teaching.
Okay.
About because I'm learning design computer science.
Yeah.
It's kind of very different of I can ideate and figure out what I want to do and then I just need the tools to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas the traditional computer science, I am here to code a website.
Yeah.
It's you're being told that you can do whatever you want and you have complete freedom.
Okay.
Hold up, complete stop. I have no idea what I want to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely none. Like someone needs to tell me what they want me to do and then I will do it.
Sure.
And having, he talks about that challenge of trying to get people to open up as opposed to being handed the idea and told to make it work.
Yeah.
No, you need to make the idea and make it work.
Yeah.
I find the struggle to be on the back half of, okay, I know what I want to do. It's now the struggle to figure out how to do it.
Interesting.
And the complete opposite for traditional computer science students is I know how to do it. That's that's not a problem at all. I have absolutely no idea what
but
I want to do.
But you have to tell me what you want me to do.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked previously that sometimes the scariest part of the creative process is the white piece of paper or the blinking cursor on your Word doc.
Yeah.
Like, what?
What am I going to write?
Where do you start?
Where do you start? And I think...
where do you start, speaking of?
Where do I start?
When you get an assignment... This is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of interrupting our own train of thought here, but where do you start?
I'll answer the question, then I'll side note it.
Yeah.
I start, I'm sitting in lecture for an hour and a half. We get a complete project brief.
Yeah.
We get the complete timeline, everything. Okay. How
client
you do everything.
Wants X.
Or, client wants X, you're going to make Z, know? immediately starting to ideate. Immediate post-it notage, just kind of throwing things up using the
boards. Are you writing? Are you doodling? Are you drawing? What are we doing here?
A variety of both. I'm on my iPad. I'm also on big 18x24 sketch pads, just doing big mind maps.
That's
It's kind of everything. And then through the ideation and research, I should actually stop myself and say research is a big part of figuring out what you want to do before you figure out how to do it.
For sure.
Because how am I going to know what it is? Yeah. That whole concept.
No, research and competitive analysis mm-hmm. is extremely
important. Yeah. I don't want to stop talking on airtime, but I'm trying to think. But
yeah,
it's a variety of doing the research to back up what I want to do, but also figuring out what I want to do.
Interesting.
And through that process, it involves throwing up anywhere between 60 and 90 ideas and sketches.
Interesting.
Like, call it per class.
All right. Let me ask you this: When you get an assignment, right, and mm-hmm. you are halfway through reading mm-hmm. the brief or mm-hmm. listening to Professor X mm-hmm. talk about
Steve.
You know whatever the case may be,
shout
right?
out Steve.
Do you already have ideas cooking
yes.
before you even get to the end of the piece of paper?
Yes, but yeah. I at this point have the knowledge that anything I throw out within the first 5 minutes is going to be garbage.
You think so?
I know that.
Oh, okay.
I know that.
All right.
And anything.
It's just about getting the process started.
It's just about getting the process yeah. started, having the excitement of, oh, this actually does sound really cool.
Yeah.
And knowing at this point that that's not what I'm going to end up with, but knowing that it might be an evolution of that. That's not a bad place to start.
Yeah. What is the best part of the project for you?
Having the magical moment of figuring out that I've figured out what I want to do.
Okay. Still very much in the first round. It's still at the beginning of the mm-hmm. process. It's the like, when you've settled on an idea.
It's at the end of the beginning of the process. I've figured out what I want to do. And
you like
now
the beginning
about,
of the back of the line.
And now I'm about to figure out how I'm going to do it.
Okay.
It's more so just solidifying that idea
and then,
getting the approval and then starting to figure out, I'm going to put joints here. I'm going to do this there. This is how it's going to actually get made. And then that's the hardest part.
Okay. So it's, I've settled on my idea on what I'm going to build. Then the terror kicks in. How am I going to make this happen?
Exactly.
Right.
Shout out to Shopmaster Trip. Cause I take my design down and I go, Trip, how do
we? Yeah. Trip, how are we going to do this? Yeah. Okay. Well, you're still learning.
There
is a certain amount of,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that on our side of the fence too, even though we've been doing this for
decades.
There's the ideation of like, oh, this is the idea.
Yeah.
You know, and then, oh man, how are we going to get that done generally applies to client restrictions, industry restrictions and or budgetary concerns, of course, you know, because we're experts and we know how to do everything here. No. All right. I totally pulled us meandered off interdisciplinary
design. To go off on that meandering, that's a difference in design that I do have friends in engineering disciplines now that it's, oh my God, I have two concepts due on Monday.
Yeah.
I have two.
Yeah, two.
How am I going to do two? And I look at them and I go, two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't be too braggadocious.
I'm not going to be braggadocious, but it's a very different mindset of these two have to be the most perfect two things I've ever created ever versus the first two things I'm going to think about are going to be... They're not going to make
it.
I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And just that hurdle that you have to get over that I think my discipline teaches and others don't necessarily do.
Well, there's, you know, creativity sometimes is inherently... insecure,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we birth all these little babies and we want them all to grow up to be cowboys.
And be
you know what I mean? But we also know in the back of our minds,
they're not going to.
None of them are, you know what I mean? A vast majority of these are going to die on the vine.
Yeah,
right?
I think, I don't remember what book you guys were talking about, but anyone can be creative.
We're talking about this book right here. I've actually got it right here on the desk. Yeah, this is the Rick Rubin, The Creative Act Way of Being. It's a fascinating book.
I'm going to completely disagree with quote unquote, anyone can be creative.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's coming out very strong.
Yeah,
I think creativity can be a learned trait, but I think some people are just inherently not creative.
Wow, that sounds harsh.
But
I didn't realize this podcast was going to turn so dark.
I think it's learned, but I think it's also, it has to be nurtured. I think some people don't nurture it.
I think that you have to broaden the approach to what creativity is, right? Rubin's initial sort of definition is that just the act of being a human being is inherently creative, right?
And I would agree with that.
And even the way that you drive to work can mm-hmm. be a form of creative expression, right? We're thinking about creative in terms of like conceptual development mm-hmm. and solutions to communication challenges mm-hmm. or solutions to product development, mm-hmm. right? And what's the most creative way, you know,
to solve this problem.
Yeah, to solve a problem, right? And it's not, you know, like, I'm making this up right now, but I'm looking at my glass of water here. It's not about designing the perfect glass.
Yeah.
It's about creating a new way to drink.
To drink water.
Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so we're taking it to that, I don't want to say next level, but it's that.
It's the experience level. How are you going to change the experience?
Yeah. And yeah. we've all encountered the people in our lives like, oh, I could never draw. Exactly. Oh, I could never do this. Yeah. I could never do that. Right. And yeah, maybe some people are more predisposed to being able to draw amazing portraiture or paint abstractly or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, I do tend to agree with Rick Rubin that just being a human being allows us ability to be creative.
I think the hindrance of, look at me using my big words.
Yeah.
I think the people I could do a whole episode on the SAT.
That's
which was impacted by COVID.
Would be riveting radio for everyone.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think the people that are, I could never be creative are the people that are not going to be creative.
Well,
and
they haven't fostered it or they've chosen a different path.
That's what I mean by not everyone can be creative because it's that self-stopping. Oh, I could never do that.
Yeah. So back to interdisciplinary design. I think we're going to title this one a meandering conversation of interdisciplinary design mixed with ice cubes.
Sorry,
it's fine. you had mentioned off air about, I don't even know the term. I already forgot it. It's some type of final exam or something where you work with
it. Capstone.
Capstones. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Capstone is a very big Georgia Tech thing.
Is that an interdisciplinary scenario? Because I think one of the beauty. So like, obviously I went to art school. Everyone at art school, shocker, is an aspiring artist, right? I think what's interesting about your path is that not everyone that you're surrounded by is an aspiring artist or designer, right? And you've mentioned engineers. I mean, Georgia Tech is an engineering school. So you've mentioned engineering. And engineering is creative, I would argue, in and of itself. And there's biomechanical. There's
biomedical.
Biomedical. There's all sorts of made-up terms.
I live with the biomedical
engineer. I mean, but I mean, engineering in and of itself is such a broad tent that there are multiple disciplines within engineering itself. Right?
Yeah. So to explain capstone is your junior, senior thesis. I've been given this big problem and I'm going to be on a big team to solve it. Okay. It's a big team project. You work with engineers, you work with, I don't know, there might be an aspiring rocket scientist on your team.
I know.
a biomedical engineer here or there scattered through in order to solve this big problem. I'll have a capstone for industrial design. I'll also have a capstone for T&M, which is my minor, but because that's now been figured out.
Yeah, woo! Hooray! It's exciting. Congrats.
But it's a very big, it's interdisciplinary project. If everyone has to work on this together, to put forth their expertise and their knowledge. Yeah. So the designer gets.
Well, I think that's cool because I think that's not unlike the real world.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I think from what I've heard, because I've not experienced it yet.
Yeah.
It's a good look into what you'll be dealing with.
Yeah.
And kind of that first big problem of, I want to solve drinkable water crises in X country. And actually figuring out how to do that. So.
Well, we've worked with a number of medical device companies. And we've actually worked with companies that have incubated out of Georgia Tech or are littered with Georgia Tech grads, which is pretty exciting. And, you know, there's a medical need that these individuals have solved, but then there's also the design challenge of implementation, right? So when you think about some of our medical clients and, we've developed a new way to fix your broken body. I'm very much painting with a broad brush here.
Sure.
Well, sometimes that design implementation comes into instrumentation, you know, or we've fixed a way to heal your body, but we also have to invent and design the actual procedure
to get a way to do it.
Yeah, a way to do it, right? Yeah.
The complete experience, call it. We know how to do it. We don't know how to do it for you.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I think the capstone model is really interesting because it ties
interdisciplinary design together.
Yeah. It takes a village, dare I say, to, you know, make change in the world. And I think that, you know, design can change the world, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I wouldn't be learning what I am if I didn't think that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, I'm feeling some rumbling in my tumbling for some soosh. So let's wrap this thing up. All right, last time I asked you favorite campaign and favorite brand.
Yes.
And one of them was Herman Miller. I don't remember. Something about Super Bowls.
It was IKEA. Okay. Avocados from Mexico.
Anything else you want to throw out there? Any shout outs of awesome brands or anything? I know we already did this.
Oh, I feel so put on the spot with this. I know. Even though I'm supposed to be thinking
about it. That's why it's called the hot seat.
When I walk in the door. I think I said Herman Miller last time with the side note for IKEA. I will dedicate this one to IKEA.
Okay, IKEA.
I absolutely love IKEA.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. All right, I guess that's it for today. Thanks for listening, everybody. Right. You can find us online at mocktheagency.com, on the socials.
On the interwebs, as Rob would say.
On the interwebs at Mock the Agency. But you already know that because you're listening to literally Mock the Podcast. all right, we'll play us out, and thanks, everybody.